What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 88. Today, we're going to be talking about protein powders. And in the past, we've done a few episodes on just various supplement reviews, and we never actually touched on the pretty much classic supplement, which is a protein powder. Everyone knows it. A lot of people take it, but there are huge variations out there. You know, either go plant-based, whey-based, soy-based. There's a million different ones. So we want to break down which one you should buy and why you should buy it, how much you should take, things like that. But first, a quick check-in. So Tom, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Nothing much has changed. We're still under that shelter in place. So until that changes, my life's probably not going to change. But I did want to just touch on a couple things that we kind of, I guess, like forgot to include in last week's podcast on blood flow restriction training. So when it was first developed, it was really targeted at diabetics and people with heart disease, because one of the best benefits is it improves blood circulation, both by just kind of making your body like force through that restriction, and then also it increases nitric oxide, which is great at expanding blood vessels. So like, yeah, it's great for people that are trying to, well, I mean, how many people are diabetic or have heart disease? I feel like that's over half the population,
right? Oh, everybody, yeah.
Yeah, so many people do have, like, the blood flow circulation issues, so it's great for anybody that has those issues. And we talked about how Tyson doesn't get sore after, like, he works out with this. And we also talked about how there's no increased risk of rhabdomyolysis. So the reason that there's no increased risk and he's not getting sore after he uses it is he's actually damaging the muscle a lot less, because he's using less weight, doing a lot less reps, that type of thing. So the muscle isn't really getting damaged. It's just kind of simulating damage because it's increasing all that blood flow. So you're getting a lot of like the cues to build without actually tearing down the muscle. So that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, and if you think about people who, let's say, just suffered a heart attack, you're bedridden, or, you know, you're extremely diabetic, you just had some sort of amputation on your foot, these people aren't going to have a lot of muscle mass to spare. So to tell them to go into the gym and break down their body and break down muscle, there's a good chance they're never going to repair it. So that's probably why this method is super beneficial for people in that position, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or just think if you're in a hospital bed, you can't even go to the gym, or you're just like returning home from post-surgery. You don't even have the option of going to the gym, and maybe you don't even have weights at home. So you can just put these bands on and just kind of flex your arm doing it that way and still get a lot of the same benefits. So it's kind of great for like the extremely like sick population, as well as, you know, people on the other side of the spectrum like you who are just trying to look for some like more gains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm glad. I'm really glad we did that podcast when we did, because those are back in my routine 100%, and I really like it.
Yeah, I'm going to start including them soon. I'm going to get them for when I go on like my nightly walks and just kind of turn like a normal like daily routine something into an extra workout, try to get even more workouts in.
Yeah, no, I think that's smart. Anyway, like I said, for me, it's any way to get an edge, but similar with you, like, you need to break up those mundane-ass long cardio sessions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find the time to like, run, like, even today I did 10 miles. I mean, it took me an hour and a half. Like, it's hard to find time to do much more than that. Like, if I want to do, like, a 20-mile run, that I have to get in my car, drive somewhere, run for 3 or 4 hours, get in my car, drive back. You know, that's almost my entire day. It's hard to have some sort of life, work, social life, that type of thing, and still do that type of training. So if I can find some, like, quote unquote like shortcuts here or there, like, you know, I got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, all right. And yeah, nothing new with me, of course. Quarantine life, my life before this was quarantine. So, you know, it's all the same for me. But I did want to touch on protein powder because initially when we did those supplement review episodes, we did like CoQ10, we did creatine, we did magnesium. So you can go on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com and find like our entire history of all the episodes. So if you're interested in any of that stuff, do we do any other supplements? I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I know those were like in the first 10 to 20 episodes, so I didn't know how good those were.
Yeah. No, I think they're good.
I don't even want to go back to listen to them.
Yeah, no, I think they're okay. I mean, I know people still talk to me about that magnesium episode a lot because it's a two-parter. It's a lot of info. And a lot of people don't know anything about CoQ10. You know, they see it at Costco. They see it costs like $50 a bottle. So they're like, what is this magic pill? But so if you really want to learn about that stuff, go ahead and check out those episodes. But I don't know if we ever, like, I feel like we just skipped over protein powder because we think it's so basic, but I get questions all the time. I think just because who I am, I'm the guy in the family, I'm the guy for one of your friends, where if you have a supplement you want me to look at, people just always send it to me. Like, hey, what do you think of this? Hey, what do you think of that? And I had an incident with actually one of my nieces who was trying to lose weight, and she's like, hey, this is a protein powder I take, what do you think? And it was a vegan-based protein powder, and I think it was made of pea protein. And I was like, oh, that protein powder shit. Like, don't buy that. She's like, well, what do you mean? It's vegan. And that was like her comeback for like it's quality protein. And I was like, oh, no, like the misinformation is crazy. Like, I need to go out there and just educate. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's really the genesis of this episode, saying like I need to let people know the quality sources of protein, because for the vast majority of people of all ages and men, women, everything, they don't get enough protein in their diet. And so I think a quality protein powder can fit into a lot of people's regimen pretty smooth, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like if you are taking a supplement, this is usually one of the first ones you go to, or it's definitely like the most popular supplement out there, maybe after like a multivitamin.
I agree, yeah. So just in general, just to start with some guidelines for how much protein you should take in, because I believe that just simply isn't known as well. Anyone who lifts weights, and it doesn't have to be like me, like 10 days a week, not that's possible, but you know what I'm saying? Like a shit ton of weights. If you're just doing it moderate weights, 2 to 3 times a week, even if it's body weight exercises, you really should try to get 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should try and eat 200 grams of protein a day. And the magical formula is 2.2 grams per kilogram of body weight. And that's really enough protein to support muscle health. And it may seem excessive to some, but it's been shown that this amount of protein is needed to fully support the development of muscle mass, which is exactly what you're trying to do if you're lifting weights. And I know people, especially women out there, are scared that, you know, oh, I lift weights, I drink protein powder, I'm going to get bulky. No, you're not. You're just going to get your muscles lean, toned, and healthy. That's what you want. No one gets bulky unless they want to get bulky.
Yeah, and I think I agree with what you said. The only thing I'd push back on is if you're 400 pounds and you're, you know, a lot, like extremely overweight, you probably don't need 400 grams of protein. Like, you need to kind of figure out like what your like lean body mass is and kind of go off of that.
That's so, like, true. So, mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a very good point. Yeah, I should have actually clarified that better. So for me, knowing the, I guess, biology of protein, nutrition, absorption, digestion, all that stuff, I understand that too much protein is not a bad thing. Too little protein is a bad thing. So I would rather have people eat too much than too little. But if you are extremely overweight, going for 1 gram per pound of body weight might be excessive. That's true.
Yeah. And on the other side, if you're like an endurance athlete, somebody like me who's pretty small, that 1 gram per protein, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight isn't actually enough. You need to up that to try to get to like 1.5 grams. So I'm about 150 pounds. Like, I should be consuming 200, 225, somewhere around there, just because like when I do these like extremely long runs, I'm breaking down my muscles so much more. I'm actually using like protein as an energy source, which is not ideal, just because like my body's just kind of searching for whatever it can. So if you're an endurance athlete, you need to kind of up that. Not only are you extremely lean, most likely, but yeah, you're just you're just burning through all that protein. So yeah, you need a little bit more. So it kind of just depends on who you are.
Yeah, that's another great point. Yeah, 100% true. Like running, and especially those ultra runs, are such a catabolic event on your body. Your body is literally eating everything. And it's even though that hard-earned muscle is eating that too. So he's right. Definitely with the protein in that situation for sure. And but the thing is, like Tom just said, he's not the biggest guy, but he needs to consume probably 200 grams a day. And that's probably minimum. It's hard for a lot of people to eat 200 grams of protein every day from whole food sources. You know, things like steak and eggs, stuff like that. So in that case, that's where protein powders come into play. So whole foods are always best because on top of the protein that your body needs, they also provide the micronutrients your body needs to properly metabolize the protein. So protein powders are a good thing, but they shouldn't be heavily relied upon if you are able to eat enough whole foods. And that's like a little caveat we want to stick in there. And we'll explain that more later on. So whole foods is always the best option, but I mean, I see it, and you see it too, every day. People are like, oh, I eat bacon and eggs for breakfast. I'm like, okay, cool. They eat two eggs and two pieces of bacon. And I'm like, you know that you'll be lucky that's 20 grams of protein. It's high quality protein, but it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, no, it's most likely not enough, especially if you're active. And, you know, one thing I do hate is that when you look at most places just consider meat to be protein. That's all they look at. But yeah, like you talked about earlier, all the micronutrients, you're getting all the cholesterol, you're getting all the amino acids that you need, you're getting so many vitamins and just so many other things that go along with the meat. So even though meat, like our government considers meat to just be protein, like most restaurants just label meat as like a protein source, like that can be farther from the truth. Like they're very short selling protein or animal sources because they are these like multivitamins, just kind of like an all-in-one source. So that's one thing I hate about just meat being called a protein. Like eggs are one of the most nutrient-dense foods out there. A steak is so nutrient-dense too. They just don't have that name or they don't have that stigma attached to it.
Yep, no, that's true. And it's sad because it confuses a lot of people. But it's okay. You know, that's why you listen to this podcast. You'll educate yourself and you'll know better. And yeah, to go back, like we talked about earlier, eggs and steak being so nutrient dense, and it's very similar in the protein powder world. So the best protein powders are going to be animal based. So plant proteins have always come up the worst on protein quality checks. They are usually contaminated with a lot of heavy metals, you know, things like aluminum and lead. And simply put, plants aren't a good source of protein. So why would you want a protein powder made from them? Like, I feel like that is the most simplest argument against plant protein powders, but no one ever makes it. Like, no one ever eats broccoli thinking they're getting, I mean, I guess vegans do, but broccoli is not a good source of protein. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, the argument that they try to make in the Game Changers movie was as long as you're getting like 150 grams or like 200 grams of protein, it doesn't matter what the source is. And it's like, well, if you're getting 200 grams of protein from the same source, you're going to be deficient, extremely deficient in certain amino acids. So it is going to make a pretty big deal.
It does make a huge deal.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't like about that. It's like, oh, you can just supplement with pea protein. Well, if pea protein is your only like protein source, you're going to be deficient in a lot of aminos. So like, no, that doesn't work.
Exactly. And that's what makes animal-based protein powders the best, because they can contain a complete amino acid profile. And also those amino acids are in the correct proportions, or at least good proportions. And that's where plant-based proteins fall off the chart. All of them are missing one amino acid at least. So it's not a complete amino acid profile. And even the proportions of the amino acids in the protein powder are shit. They're all out of whack because they're not designed to be a quality protein source. They're just not. And soy does get around this a little bit, but soy is just bad in so many other ways. And we have a whole podcast on soy. Listen to that if you want to learn why soy is so bad for you. But no one should take a soy protein powder for numerous different reasons. But out of the plant-based world, soy is going to be your best option usually. But that's not saying, well, if soy is your best option, then all your options suck. Let's just be honest. Yeah, so Tom pulled this study talking about just how bad some of these plant-based proteins are. You want to run through that?
Well, it's actually running through all the proteins, but the plant proteins came out so much worse. So out of 150 proteins tested, 134 tested positive for at least one toxic metal. That's things like arsenic, cadmium, mercury, or lead. And 55% of these tested positive for BPA, which is something that's included in most plastics and is an endocrine disruptor. So a lot of things that we don't want. So that's why we mentioned earlier, like, whole foods should be your choice because you're not going to be getting any of these, like, toxins with it. But plant proteins such as pea or soy tend to be far worse than animal sources such as whey or egg. And on average, those plant proteins, they tested positive for twice the amount of those toxic metals. And this is because plants are designed to absorb heavy metals from the soil. That's what they do. That's how they get a lot of minerals, things like magnesium and stuff like that. But our soil is toxic in most places, so you're going to be getting your lead, your mercury, all these other things that you don't want. Animal sources, on the other hand, animals have processes to, like, filter out these toxins. So even if you are getting some of them, you're getting them in a much, much smaller amount. So plant proteins, worse protein, like, digestibility, and now you're getting more toxins with them. So, yeah, that's two reasons to stick to animal protein.
Yeah, and to touch back on that protein powder my niece sent me, it wasn't even like that protein powder was half the price. It was just as expensive, if not more expensive, than a lot of the animal-based, whey-based protein powders. And I was like, this is a scam. Like, it really is.
Oh, I know. It would make sense if it was, like, half the price or a third of the price.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not as good of a product. But when you have, like, so many people convinced that plants are the same as animals, then you can charge a higher amount for them because, like, they think they're doing the right thing.
Yep. And don't get it twisted, people. Like, the people behind these companies, these vegan-based companies, the plant-based proteins, they understand they're selling you a shitty profit for a markup. Like, they're making way more money off of you buying that plant-based protein than the whey-based protein. And that's just a fact. Because the animal-based, just, I guess, infrastructure and nutrition of the product itself, it costs more to produce. And so they make less money off of whey protein powder than they do a pea protein powder. And it's obviously one of the reasons, like, James Cameron has a pea protein company, it pretty much prints money. You sell a cheap product for an expensive-ass price, and you collect the profits. That's just how it works. That's business. And it's sad, but it's true, you know? So to touch on what protein you really should look at, it's whey. Whey protein is a golden standard. It's very high in BCAAs, which are branched-chain amino acids, and contains every essential and non-essential amino acids in a highly bioavailable ratio. The high level of BCAAs is important for muscle growth specifically because the sole amino acid that triggers muscle protein synthesis is leucine, and leucine is a BCAA. In order to get the magic number to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, which is about 3 grams of leucine, you need to take in about 30 grams of whey concentrate shake. So whey is about 10% leucine, and a lot of people don't know that. Like, the whole point of working out, I mean, well, one of the points, there's a million benefits of working out, but obviously people want to build bigger, stronger muscles. And you do that by breaking down your muscles and stimulating muscle protein synthesis. That's what you want to do. And then your body will recruit protein you eat and direct it to your muscles, and then they'll grow. But you can do that same process. You can turn on muscle protein synthesis and send that digested protein to your muscles if you eat enough leucine with each meal. And that's one of the reasons why when people come to me with my breakfast is great. I have 2 eggs and 2 pieces of bacon. I'm like, yeah, that's not bad. Like, I'm not going to say it's a shit breakfast, but it could be way better. Like, don't you want to tell your body, like, hey, keep my muscles strong, keep my muscles healthy. To do that, you need at least 30 grams from an animal-based source. And so whey, 30 grams per serving is the way to go. Protein powders like casein and soy have less amounts of leucine, like, per serving. So they require more overall protein to stimulate muscle protein synthesis. And there's an idea out there of an anabolic window. This is something talked about a lot in, like, the gym bro world. They say you have 30 minutes to take in some protein post-workout, or all your hard work in the gym will go to waste. But this isn't true. It's been shown that the best way to fully support your workouts is really the total amount of protein you eat in a day. That's because working out and damaging your muscles, like I talked about earlier, causes muscle protein synthesis to occur in that particular muscle for upwards of 48 hours. It's not just like this real brief period. It happens for days. Your body gets a signal to grow, to repair. That's what it wants to do. So the total protein you ingest throughout the day will be the real measure of success, not the particular time. So there's no reason to kind of sip that protein shake right after your last set. Now, I understand, you know, this is a game of inches, at least in the bodybuilding world. Everybody's trying to find an edge. whether it's supplements, drugs, training, whatever. Trust me, I completely understand that. But your body's not going to shrivel up if you don't drink your protein shake until you get home. Like, you'll be fine. You can wait an hour or two. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I wish I would have learned this, like, way, way earlier. Because I don't know how many times, like, when I was in high school or, like, right after high school, I would keep a protein shake in my car. So the second I walked out of the gym, I would down that protein shake.
Yeah.
And this didn't happen all the time, but definitely occasionally, like, I would throw up that protein shake within, like, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, I would get in my car, down that protein shake, drive home. Before I even get out of my car, I'd have to, like, pull over somewhere so I could throw up. And what's kind of going on there is your body's in such a sympathetic state. So it's just about, like, your body thinks you're wrestling a bear for your dear life at that time.
It has no, like, time or desire to digest. It's like, I don't want to do that.
No, it's just worried about, hey, feeding my muscles, stay alive. No blood's going to your digestive system. So, like, you need a lot of blood. You need a lot of energy to digest that protein. So if you try to do that too soon, you're trying to operate two different systems that are working against each other. So it's just not going to work. So, yeah, you could end up throwing up. Or the other way is you're going to start taking away blood from your muscles, which you don't want to do immediately post-workout. There's a lot of kind of cleanup, a lot of, like, oxidative stress that needs to be cleared up at that point. So you want to have all that blood flow going to those muscles. So the best way to do it is just, like, eat when you're hungry. Like, your body will let you know when it's time, when you're out of that sympathetic state and trying to get into that parasympathetic state and, like, fully absorb your meals. So, yeah, and normally for me, it obviously depends on how hard the workout is, but sometimes up to, like, 2 hours before I'll be like, okay, now's the time to eat. Your body will know.
Yeah, your body will know. You just have to get a little good at listening to it. And, yeah, I remember those stories of you throwing up all the time. Like, I completely remember that, but it's just that mindset when you're young and honestly dumb and you're trying to make as many gains as possible, you'll do whatever you have to do, you know?
Well, I just bought into that 30-minute, like, window. And it's like, oh, no, it can be, like, a 48-hour window, depending on how you worked out.
Yeah.
Like, if you work out legs and you, like, really kill yourself, like, it's going to be a 48-hour window.
So don't worry about it, bros. You'll be okay. You know what I mean? You don't have to throw up every day just to, you know, get some gains. You'll be all right. As long as you hit, like, your protein goal for the day, you'll be fine. You know, you'll grow. And there are other types of protein powders all out there. Things like casein, collagen, and soy. I think casein and collagen proteins have their place in certain situations, but they can't be the backbone of your supplement routine. Whey should be. No one, like I talked about earlier, should take a soy protein powder. Listen to the soy protein powder podcast if you want to learn more. Soy, just soy in general podcast if you want to hear more. But whey is so, honestly, it's affordable. Like, the industry knows how to mass produce whey at this point. You can get a whey concentrate for dirt cheap, and that should just be the backbone. It's highly bioavailable. It's very high quality. It's been shown in studies over and over and over to properly support muscle health and muscle growth. So whey protein is the way to go. And like I said, I think protein powders are 100% worth it if you can't eat enough or don't have the time or energy to meal prep enough to have consistent meals available. So when the urge comes up to eat and you don't have food prepped, it's always better to have a protein shake than it is to go out and get some fast food. That's just, everyone should know that. And they've been shown to support our muscles and allow you to grow and recover from hard workouts. So protein powders are worth it. And I support them. I think a lot of people should take them. Like, I give my 7-year-old mother a whey protein shake. It's a whey concentrate shake. And I tell her, you know, the older you get, the harder and harder it's going to be for you to keep your muscles. You have to have at least one meal with over 30 grams of protein. Because I know she doesn't. Something about, maybe it's the women in my life or the older people in my life, they eat like birds. Like, they eat such small servings that they never actually get that magical 3 grams of leucine per serving. I know they don't. And it really does bug me. But I just think in those cases, protein powders are ideal. And even though I just talked so good about all this stuff, I personally don't use protein powders because I have no problem eating enough whole foods. Like, if anything, I have problems eating too much whole foods. So whole foods should always be the best options, like we talked about earlier, with all the micronutrients involved. But there's also just other things in protein powders people should be aware of, right?
Yeah, well, before we move on, like, some of the other, like, times you can, like, you should be kind of using a protein powder. Like you said earlier, if you don't have meals prepped or something like that, another time is, like, hey, if you're going to be traveling a lot and you just don't have access to, like, good, clean meals, protein powders are great for that. Yeah, like, I like the option that you said earlier, if you just aren't eating enough, like, yeah, they're good for that, too. So they do have their time and place. But yeah, I don't really do protein shakes right now, but I'm about to start doing them again. One thing I have noticed is with this whole shelter in place, I've been having like more of a sweet tooth, and I've been giving into that a lot. So I'm going to kind of just use that as like a treat every now and then. So I'm not rushing out to the store to get some ice cream or something way worse for me.
Yeah.
But so some things that you should be aware of with protein powders is many of them contain like harmful dyes like yellow 5, blue 1, red 40. And then there's also the issue with like natural and artificial flavors. While these may be legal at the moment, there's a lot of controversy around these and should probably be avoided. The FDA and EPA don't really have the best track record at banning like harmful ingredients. And the downside of these harmful ingredients might be things like cancer. So it's like, yeah, the cons definitely outweigh the pros when it comes to a lot of these.
Don't wait for like the FDA or EPA to save you. Because trust me, they take forever to fix anything.
Yeah, they're basically have to wait for enough people to die from these and have it like have that link be proven. And like, I don't want to be one of those statistics. Exactly. Like, I'd rather just avoid them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just that. Another issue with protein powders versus whole food is the whole digestive enzymes. Like an egg, for example, contains proteases. Those are just enzymes that help you break down protein. So supplements don't contain these. So most people don't produce enough stomach acid. So proteases, in this case, will be extremely beneficial to help you break down that protein and help you absorb it. What's the point of eating something if you're not going to break it down and absorb it?
Exactly. And this is one of the reasons why some people notice if they get some lower quality protein powders, they bloat, they burp, they feel gas afterwards. It's just their body's having a hard time breaking down the protein without these extra aids that you get from whole foods.
And another problem is protein powders, and this is true for most supplements, they're very poorly regulated. This means that labels can be very inaccurate. Like, do you really want to spend the extra money and buy a protein powder that says it has 30 grams per scoop on the label, but you're only actually getting like something like 20? So I mean, like, you're just overpaying for an inferior product, and then like Tyson said earlier, you're not even hitting that leucine threshold to even activate muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah, and I think to touch on the quarantine real fast, so it's been shown that like a lot of people aren't working out right now. They can't go to the gym, they don't have access to home weights, so they're literally losing muscle. After about 3 to 4 weeks, you will become untrained. It's just, it happens. There's no way around it. But you can, it's been shown, you can keep more muscle without training if you stimulate muscle protein synthesis multiple times throughout the day via your diet. So if you can do that, maybe 3-4 times a day, just peak that protein up, you'll spare your muscles. So during this quarantine, when you actually do get back to the gym in a few weeks, few months, whatever, you'll have more muscle than everybody else. But you have to focus on getting in this quality protein every day.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of my favorite sources for testing for like things like accuracy on labels, like quality and like harmful additives to see how many like toxic metals are going to be in it, how many of those like harmful food dyes, is a site called Labdoor. So labdoor.com, and it ranks, it has, I believe, 80 different proteins. You can actually use that website for pretty much every sort of supplement. They have creatine on there, they have different multivitamins, fish oils. And then they just give it a letter grade, anywhere from an A to an F. And unfortunately, on their website, there's a lot more Fs than there are As. So, and the ones at the top of the list, many of them are brands that I haven't even heard of. So I don't think they're influenced by any sort of outside source, because it's like the little guys are winning, not like the big, gigantic companies. So I think that they're a really good source. And they even show you their testing standards. So that's a great place to just kind of look at, like, is this protein actually good for me? Like, what's going on there? So that's one of my favorite sources when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you don't know if a protein powder is good or not, check. You know, go to the website, look for an answer, because it's out there. You know, most likely it'll be on that list. And if you just don't know where to go at all, just go to that website and find something that got an A grade that's fairly affordable within your own price range and pick it up. I want to touch on something real quick, just like the hype around protein powders. And I think it honestly comes from like maybe the 80s and 90s, like these ads you'd find in magazines where you'd see these bodybuilders taking protein powder saying like, oh, you'll gain 30 pounds of muscle. But like, don't believe the hype around some of these protein powders. They won't magically make you jacked. Like, they're not steroids. They're not any sort of hormones, nothing like that. They're perfectly safe to take by anyone. I'm talking mom, dad, brother, sister. I don't care how old you are. Like, my dad gave me protein powder when I was 5 years old. Like, I've literally been drinking protein shakes since I was five. Like, he would make me a protein shake before school every day. That's how I started my day. And looking back, he put a whole bunch of other shit in it, and I don't think it probably was the best for me, but at least I got some protein, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm willing to bet 25 years ago, it was probably a much cleaner product than it is now, just because we've been getting worse and worse when it comes to, like, harmful additives.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do know, actually, real fast, he told me later on, like, once I became more educated on nutrition and health, all that stuff, that for a while he was giving me a soy-based protein powder. And I was like, Dad, you suck. I was like, why did you do that? And he was like, everyone said soy was the best. Everyone said it was the new thing. And I was like, I get it. You know what I mean? It's just people buy into the hype. Even my dad did.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially, I mean, because we know, we both worked at a GNC when we were, like, in high school. You kind of go to those people expecting them to be kind of experts, but all they're trying to do is just sell you whatever is going to make them the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Most supplements that you sell, there's, like, different incentives. Like, if you sell, like, a 10-pound thing of protein, like, some companies will give you $10 back, and, like, other ones won't. So, like, the salespeople in there kind of incentivize to favor certain proteins over others. So whatever is going to make me the most money is what I'm going to be selling you. Yeah. Because that's the way I operated back then. It's not the best way, but I mean, to me, protein was protein. I didn't know the difference back then.
Yep. No, me either. I didn't. Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Like, when you're getting paid minimum wage, of course you're going to go take advantage of these, like, little perks. You know, if you get $3 one or $10 for this other one, I'm going to go to the other one because compared to my, like, uneducated ass, it's the same, like you said. So there's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, you look at the back of the label, they both say 20 grams of protein. So, like, what is the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to wrap it up, what you really want to look for in this protein powder, just gauge if you eat enough. Are you like me? Can you eat 5 pounds of meat a day? Then guess what, bro or lady? You don't need a protein powder. You're perfectly fine and consider yourself blessed. Because I just don't need a protein powder, right? But if you have a hard time getting down meals, just track your meals one day. You know, get a scale or just eyeball it. See where your protein is. If you're around 150 pounds, you're getting 80 grams of protein a day. That's not enough. And you should supplement with a protein powder. Maybe just one in the morning, 50 grams, something like that. You want to get a whey protein, and there's a lot of forms of whey out there. The two major ones are going to be whey concentrate and whey isolate. And there's this negative, I guess, connotation with whey concentrate, and I really don't like it. And it's strictly based off price and on almost like propaganda, because whey isolate is always going to be more expensive. You know, you get a 5 pound thing of whey concentrate for $40. You get a 5 pound thing of whey isolate for like $60. And so people just associate that price or that increase in price with better quality, and that's not inherently false. Whey protein isolate is a more pure source of protein. Like, per gram of scoop, like per serving, you're getting more protein per serving, but it's a minuscule difference. And guess what? Like, you're not a professional bodybuilder. I'm not. Most people aren't. So you don't really need that, like, 2% difference between whey concentrate and whey isolate. It's a little better, but it's not worth a price increase, in my opinion. And all it really is the company runs whey concentrate through another filtering process to filter out more things like lactose, to filter out more fats, to filter out more of the things that you don't want besides the protein. So that's the only difference, and it's never worth a price increase, in my opinion. And so start with the whey concentrate, see how that goes. If you don't like it, if your body maybe does get bloated, it just doesn't feel good, then maybe go to whey isolate and see if your body does better with a real pure source of protein. And if it does, then go with the whey isolate. That's fine. You're just gonna have to pay more. That's the only real struggle there. And like, so for a serving size, try consume a minimum of 30 grams per serving and try to hit at least 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Those should be your markers every day. I don't care if you work out that day or not. That should be what you hit. That's what I try and do every day.
Yeah, that's some great points. But if you're like me and you don't do well with dairy, then you might have issues with whey protein as well, because whey does come from dairy. So if you are one of those people out there, there are other sources. So you can get things like egg protein, which would be a great source, or just straight beef protein. Yeah. So those would be pretty good sources as well. You can also use collagen, but collagen isn't a complete amino acid profile. So it shouldn't be considered like a typical protein source, especially if you're looking at things like muscle protein synthesis.
Yeah, like I said, it shouldn't be the backbone, but it can definitely be a good addition to.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my tip of the week, and I'm just going to kind of go through like my favorite source for protein powders. It's called TrueNutrition.com. And from there, you can customize your own supplements. So if you're somebody that doesn't typically consume things like bone broth, pork rinds, like the skin of animals or like the bones of animals, then you're probably not getting a lot of collagen. And then that also means you're probably not getting a lot of the amino acid glycine. So what you can do is you can mix like your own sort of like protein powder. So you can mix a whey protein with a collagen protein to balance out your methionine to glycine ratio, which is pretty important for things, creating things like glutathione and other antioxidants. So you kind of want to have those balance out. And if you're allergic to dairy, then you can add things like egg proteins or beef proteins. Right now, the one that I have is like 1/3 egg protein, 1/3 beef protein, and then 1/3 collagen protein.
That's cool. I really like that.
Yeah. The only reason I don't have it 50-50 is the collagen protein is a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And the beef protein is slightly more expensive than the egg protein. So I'm kind of using that egg protein as like a filler to kind of cut down the price.
Yeah.
So you can play around with things like that. They also have, they have cricket protein in there, mm-hmm. which is kind of a newer thing. That's like a kind of a trendy item, but that's mostly like collagen protein,
mm-hmm.
and it is crazy expensive. If it was the cheapest one, I might consider it, but I think the cricket protein might be the most expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something I'm about to start adding to my routine.
Yeah, no, actually, so Stephanie, I don't know if you'll listen to this episode about protein powder. I hope you do. Hope everything's well. But she always has great questions for me. And I guess she saw maybe a commercial. Maybe she read an article. I'm not sure. About like cricket protein or just insect protein, like saving the world. Because, you know, there's a lot of people on the planet. And at some point, the food supply is going to run short, you know. And so this company, it was obviously a insect protein based company, was promoting crickets as like the next like whatever coming of Christ. Like everyone eats crickets, we'll all survive forever. And so I was like, you know, let me look into the quality of cricket protein and just insects proteins in general. And eventually I probably want to do a podcast on this. It's just, I don't know if I have enough info to do a whole podcast on it, because it's really just a couple articles I pulled up. But there's a few different ways to judge protein quality. So you have like the PDC AAS score, which is a real like shitty way to judge protein. That's a scale that makes soy look good. But you have a DIAAS score, digestible indispensable amino acid score. And that's really the marker you want to use for protein quality. And so I found a list of all these insects tested on the DIAAS score, and they all came up crap. And they all came up very similar to pea, very similar to just plants. And it makes sense that they did, because cricket protein isn't a complete amino acid source. So it's not going to stimulate muscle protein synthesis in the same way. And even if it does, it doesn't have the supporting amino acids around it to make it work efficiently. So can cricket protein be a supplement just like collagen? 100%, because that's what it is. You know, just think of what a cricket is. It's just hard collagen outside. But it shouldn't be the backbone of your protein regimen. It's just not, it's not a quality source. And it's definitely, like Tom said, it's not worth the price markup it is right now, because it's kind of a trendy thing.
That's totally true. I mean, I think like the kind of the way around it, I mean, I would just rather go with beef collagen than cricket.
Yeah.
It's just to kind of do what I'm doing, is just like mixing it with another protein source. That way, you know, you're getting that complete amino acid profile.
Oh no, the way you're doing it is the way to do it. I think 100%. Yeah. That's a great little ratio.
Yeah, and there's even other things you can do on that site, True Nutrition. You can add additional boosts to your powder. So I add a protease boost, kind of like how I mentioned earlier, how the protein powders don't have proteases to help you break down that protein like whole foods do. So, hey, you want to absorb everything that you're getting, especially if you're paying like a premium price for it. So you can add things like that. You can add other things like a multivitamin or something like that, but I don't really see the point. I know I'm getting enough of my vitamins because I eat tons of eggs. I eat tons of like high quality meat sources every day. So I know I'm good off of that. But if you're also to use this as either like a pre-workout or during like a endurance race, something like that, you can add things like MCTs. That's medium chain triglycerides. So it's a fat source that I really quickly turn into energy. You can even use amino acids. I mean, not essential amino acids. Those are better than branched-chain amino acids when it comes to using as an energy source, because they not only contain branched-chain amino acids, but they contain other amino acids too, and they're already broken down, so they're really easy to turn into energy. Yeah. So, like, yeah, on that website, you can kind of just customize your own thing for what you are intending to use it for.
Yeah, very cool website, very cool.
Yeah, and their options for protein is kind of intimidating at first, because there's, you know, like how you mentioned earlier, how there's so many different whey proteins.
Yep.
There's like concentrate, isolate, cold filtered, and then they have like grass fed on top of that. Like there's probably like 30 different choices. So it's kind of fun to play around with. But then I just kind of like look at the price. I'm like, oh, this is getting kind of expensive. And we just kind of narrow it down a little bit.
Actually, you know what? I'm really glad you said that. I totally forgot about this new trend of promoting grass-based whey protein powders as something special. Like, we have a podcast on grass-fed versus grain-finished beef. I mean, it's probably, whatever, 30 or 40 episodes back. Again, you can go to TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com and find that. Just go to the whole archive. But the difference in grass-fed versus grain-fed beef, it's there. There's a little bit of a difference, but that difference does not translate into protein powder. Everything, all the benefits of grass-fed beef, like the vitamin and mineral increase, is gone once you filter out everything except for the protein from the milk. There's literally no benefit in going for an expensive grass-fed, quote-unquote, you know, those, I don't know, who knows what the, like Tom said earlier, the regulation behind these products is very shaky at best. So who knows what they even have to do to actually make that claim that it's grass-fed. But don't spend money on something promoted as grass-based or grass-fed just because you think it's going to be better. Just a whey concentrate is going to be perfectly fine. A whey isolate is going to be perfectly fine. You don't have to waste your money on these trendy terms nowadays.
Yeah, the only benefit is it might be better for the environment. That would be like the only benefit that you're actually getting from going for a grass-fed one. But that's only if they're actually truly practicing like good farming practices, which you're really just not going to know.
You're not going to know. Yeah, exactly. And even that argument gets tricky. So go back and listen to our podcast on that, because there's so many layers to that argument. So, but yeah, so just don't waste your money on those trendy terms. You don't need to do it. I mean, whatever, if you got it like that, you know, you're sitting on 20 million. Yeah, go ahead and get the most expensive protein on the planet. But I know most people don't need to do that.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just getting it's like just straight beef protein.
Yeah.
It's beef protein, egg protein, and beef collagen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the benefits from the grass-fed stuff, it's going to be in that fat that you're obviously not getting in a whey protein powder. So don't even worry about it. All right. Well, did you have anything else to say, or is that about it?
No, that's about it. I think we covered this topic pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Well, all right. That's the podcast. Hope you guys liked it. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com or on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And if you haven't already, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. You can find us pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.